I'm Dr. Nathaniel Chin, and you're listening to Dementia Matters, a podcast about Alzheimer's disease. Dementia Matters is a production of the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. Our goal is to educate listeners on the latest news in Alzheimer's disease research and caregiver strategies. Thanks for joining us. Before we jump into this week's episode, I have a special request. Please nominate our show for the 2019 Podcast Awards. The more nominations we receive, the better chance we will have to be chosen as a finalist for an award. Go to www.podcastawards.com. That's www.podcastawards.com, where you can register and submit your nominations. You will find Dementia Matters in the Health category, as well as the People's Choice category. Nominations close July 31st. Thank you in advance. Now here's the episode. My guest today is Neil McCallum, the Wisconsin State Coordinator of AARP's Driver Safety Program. This program offers courses and education designed especially for drivers aged 50 years old and older. The goal of the program is to keep older drivers on the road and driving safely. Neil, I know you're an expert in driver safety, but I've also heard you're an avid bicyclist and just completed a long-distance bike ride. How long was that most recent bike ride, and what inspired you to do it?
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. With regard to my bike ride, it was a charity event for Bike the U.S. for MS. We went from St. Augustine, Florida, all the way to Bar Harbor, Maine, a distance of 2,260 miles. We did that over a span of 36 days. We averaged about 70 miles per day, and we had four rest days during that 36-day period. And two of those days, we did service projects for MS patients. So it was very gratifying, really enjoyed it. I was very pleased that physically I could do it. And so it worked out very well. And we earned a lot of money for MS research.
That sounds like a wonderful experience. Were you worried about the drivers? Were there ever any incidents?
Absolutely. The national law is that you have to keep 3 feet, as a driver, you have to keep 3 feet from the cyclist. We had one or two instances where drivers came within that 3 feet limit. It is a concern, but by and large, for the most part, drivers were extremely courteous to us and moved over to the other lane. And in some states, it was really very beneficial from the standpoint of the road was alligatored along the shoulder. And so we really had to move out into the main driving lane. We had no accidents. Everybody came through safely, and that was of utmost importance.
That's wonderful. Now, can you tell us about your role with the AARP Wisconsin and how you got involved with the group?
I have been a volunteer for AARP Driver Safety Program for approximately 3 years. I answered an email saying we are looking for instructors, volunteers, and I responded to that and went through an extensive training program with AARP. And then about a year and a half ago, I took over the role as state coordinator. In that role, I am working with 60 fellow volunteers throughout the state in representing our driver safety program and conducting classes throughout the state.
I imagine that training took quite a long time.
It is about an 8-hour video training program, very extensive. It talks about safe driving principles, what it takes to be a volunteer, and how best to teach our course. The course is in Wisconsin is a 4-hour course with a number of videos and is very comprehensive with refresher on safe driving principles.
Yeah, if you could give us a few more specifics as to what that driver safety program offers, including, if you don't mind, what it costs.
Absolutely. The AARP Driver's Safety Program has been in existence for 40 years. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. We offer four programs within the umbrella of the Driver's Safety Program. The first one is our Smart Driver course, a four-hour course in Wisconsin that is conducted in the classroom. There's no behind the wheel. Everybody passes. We do have tests and a little bit of homework within the class, but everybody passes, and that course is $20 for non-AARP members, $15 for AARP members, and it's offered throughout the state. We are presently offering 210 classes throughout our state this year, and we're always looking for participants, and everybody that has taken the class has walked away saying, gosh, I learned something, which is extremely important. It's a good refresher on safe driving principles. The second program that we offer is CarFit, where we work with the individual to fit their car and their specific vehicle. So we adjust the seats, the headrests, the steering wheel. We make sure that there's 10 inches between the chest and the airbag so that the airbag can deploy properly. And we just do a good walk around of the vehicle to make sure that there's no blind spots in the driver's vision. So that's a very comprehensive. It takes about 15 minutes to work through the process. And it we have those events throughout the state as well. The third arm of the driver safety program is the We Need to Talk program. And this is the one that is probably most appropriate to this audience, as it talks to how do you have the conversation with the loved one who maybe shouldn't be out there on the road. We look for, talk about what is the importance of driving, what are warning signs that the driver may not be operating the vehicle properly and safely, and then how do you have the conversation, observation, and then planning the conversation, and then follow up. So this is very comprehensive. It has just been revamped, and we'll be offering the new course in the fall, and it's I previewed it, and it's very exciting. The fourth arm of our driver safety program is Smart Driver Tech, and that is where we educate a potential consumer or a potential car buyer on all the new safety features that are involved in our vehicles, so that when you go to the shop or car dealer, you can request certain items like adaptive cruise control or blind spot warning systems, so that you're buying the car that is safe for you in your present conditions.
This is an extensive program with a lot of different ways of getting help or getting education.
Absolutely. We're very proud of the program.
Well, in your experience, what are some of the changes that happen with age that most affect a person's driving ability and safety?
There are a number of aspects with regard to as we age that affects our driving ability. Many of us are on more medications. How do those medications affect our ability to drive? The driver safety course deals with how our bodies have changed, how our roadways have changed, how the vehicles have changed, and then how can we adapt to that change. Then we also talk about just safe driving strategies, like what happens if you encounter a deer, roadway or railroads crossings, how do you deal with those, bicycles, pedestrians, just good safe driving practices.
I appreciate that you guys are focusing on more than just an aging body, because it's not just the human being that's changing with time. It is our vehicles, our roadways, just the way we even handle traffic.
Very true.
Well, you did mention warning signs, and so I'm wondering, what are some of the warning signs that you tell people, their spouse, their parent, their grandparent, perhaps shouldn't be driving anymore?
There are warning signs, and they are very subtle. As we age, our eyesight diminishes, and maybe we don't like to drive at night or dusk and dawn. So we look for instances where the loved one might say, well, I just returned from driving to the market and I didn't enjoy that experience because the cars were going too fast, or the light, I couldn't see very well because of the changing light patterns. So you look for the little indications from the driver and then work with that. Another principle that we talk about is observation. When you ride with a loved one and you see that maybe they hesitate making a left-hand turn because the depth perception and the cognitive ability of the person to judge that depth perception of a vehicle coming makes them more leery about turning left. So if there's a hesitation when the person is turning left, or a hesitation in merging into traffic, those should be noted and documented so that when you have planned the conversation and that you have the conversation with the loved one, you can say, on this date, you were concerned about turning left. Maybe you want to make three right-hand turns as opposed to turning left. Or maybe you should start limiting your driving to only daylight hours or non-rush hour times. However, in many urban environments, it's getting so non-rush hour is basically rush hour. So it becomes more difficult.
I imagine you are seeing more people with cognitive changes, such as Alzheimer's disease. And so I'm wondering, how do you advise a driver who was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or any form of cognitive change? What do you tell them?
That's a very interesting question and very difficult many times for the person who has been diagnosed to realize that they are of diminished capacity. And what we have found is, especially for the loved ones of the individual, to start observing and planning for the time that that person shouldn't be driving. One recommendation would be seeking alternate means of transportation and getting the person familiar with utilizing alternate transportation. Where's the bus stop? What time does the bus come? The other aspect is you can start working with that person to plan their trips. Okay, you want to go to church on Sunday. Maybe there's a parishioner that could take you to church on Sunday, as opposed to going to the market three times a week. Maybe you only go once and you use a ride-sharing app to do that, or many of our supermarkets now are offering home delivery. During this whole process, you want to be very supportive and empathetic to the condition that this individual is going through and not be demeaning or accusatory. You also want to find the individual that the person trusts the most to have the conversation with them so that they know that it's in their best interest to limit their driving or maybe even stop driving.
Where do most car accidents occur?
Most car accidents occur at intersections, and that is a result of the fact that people are having additional trouble judging distances and speed as they age. So in a four-way intersection, there are 32 potential conflict points, and those conflict points are very difficult crashes from the standpoint of head-on or rear-end collisions or even a T-bone collision. And that's why we're seeing a lot more roundabouts. In a roundabout, there's only 8 potential conflict points, and those are glancing blows. So intersections are where we see the most accidents, and we need to be concerned about navigating through intersections.
Now, I have a lot of patients that will say, oh, I stopped driving on the freeway, so I'm fine. But I've also been told that more accidents occur closer to home than on a freeway. Is that true?
Correct. And as you mentioned, the self-limiting aspects, I don't like the speed of the freeway. I don't like merging into the freeway. I'd much rather drive on local roads. Well, local roads have a lot more intersections, and there are more potential conflict points in local roads.
Well, in closing, where can people find resources about aging and safe driving, and where can they learn about this AARP driving course?
The AARP Driver Safety Program has an extensive website with regard to our various programs, and that can be found at www.aarp.org/drive. The aarp.org/drive website on the driver safety course has a place that you can plug in your zip code, and it will tell you where classes are in your area. And all the classes are also offered online so that you don't even have to go to a location. The Hartford Insurance Company has extensive programs and documents with regard to driver safety, and that's also a wonderful resource, all totally free.
What wonderful services, and I appreciate the ability to watch it online if you can't make it to a class in person.
Exactly. What we have found, though, that people that have taken it in person enjoy the class a lot more because of the social interaction. And it's a 4-hour class, and we keep it moving very quickly.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show, Dementia Matters. We hope to have you or someone else from the AARP again in the future.
I very much appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having us.
Dementia Matters is brought to you by the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. The Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center combines academic, clinical, and research expertise from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and the Geriatric Research Education and Clinical Center of the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. It receives funding from private, university, state, and national sources, including a grant from the National Institutes of Health for Alzheimer's Disease Centers. This episode was produced by Rebecca Wazileski and edited by Abishir Adin. Our musical jingle is Cases to Rest by Blue Dot Sessions. Check out our website at adrc.wisc.edu. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you have any questions or comments, email us at dementiamatters@medicine.wisc.edu. Thanks for listening.